10:30 on Magic 102.1. I'm Jay Thomas Smith, along with Val Wilson. And in this segment of the program, we're joined by Aisha Crumbine, who is an educational consultant, and Marshawn Benson, who is on the faculty at the Texas Southern University in the English department, and she's also an educational consultant, and Paula Ware, a consultant in the, her organization is called Urban Schools Collaborative. Good morning, ladies, and welcome once again to Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1.
Good morning.
Yeah, you have a very interesting topic today, how parents can build strong relationships with their children's teachers. Wow, who would be like to be the first one to tell us what parents should be doing?
You know, so I will go first. This is Aisha, since there are three of us on here. It's hard for people to keep that in check. You know, I think the most important thing parents can do is to really believe that their teachers are on their team. There's a lot of baggage that parents bring into the school, and they think about their own experiences. Mm-hmm. But when it's time to send your child to school, if you believe that your child's teachers are on your team, you treat them differently. Mm-hmm. You expect different things from them. You give them the benefit of the doubt. And in exchange for that, the way you approach them is very positive. It's I know that you and I are trying to get the same thing done for our kids. How do we work together to make that happen? Mm-hmm. And having that belief, it colors the way you talk to them. It colors what you get out of that relationship. And when teachers are approached that way, mm-hmm. they are willing to go the extra mile for your kids. They want to be a partner with you. They want to be on your team. Mm-hmm. And the benefit your child gets out of that is invaluable. Mm-hmm. So I'd say just believing, have a mindset that child is there, or that teacher is there, to really help your child advance to the next level.
Have a positive attitude about mm-hmm. it.
Absolutely.
As opposed to negative attitude.
Absolutely.
They're looking for problems, looking for some solutions.
Well, and problems are going to happen.
Yeah, but we don't want to look for problems in the beginning, so we overlook the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, there's a problem over there. Let's talk about that.
Right.
Yeah.
So before you get to school, or when you walk into the school on the first day, you think, this person is going to help me get my child from A to B. Mm-hmm. I need to treat them like they are a real value, because they are.
Yeah. Marshawn, you had some thoughts
on that? I was going to say, and I think Aisha brings up some amazing points. We also need to look really, really hard at some of the causes for parents. The tension that has developed over the years. You know, this is the first generation of parents who have been subjugated to high-stakes testing. And when the business model moved in the late 90s, parents, or even really in the late 80s, a lot of parents were kept at an arm's distance. And so we really start, as an educator, it's up to the teachers, too, to understand the causation of these kind of tense relationships, and understand that parents themselves have been subjected to some bad things when they were themselves students, and may not know how to develop these relationships. So I think it's important for us to have this discussion, because there are some key points that we all can, some steps that parents can take, and we can help them walk through that transition to offset some of their own barriers,
right,
that they may have developed.
You have any thoughts, Paul?
I do, and more so in light of things that parents can do at home, mm-hmm. To better prepare their children for just what Marshawn has said. Assessment, unfortunately, in Texas is very much high stakes and very much a large part of the education system. So we need to start early on teaching our children study skills. Mm. That is not an innate area. That is something that has to be taught. And if we teach our children study skills early on, we can divide them into inputs and outputs. Mm-hmm. Inputs starting with listening skills. Parents often say, "Didn't you hear what I said? I told you to do that." There are ways to teach your children how to focus on keywords, mm-hmm. and to zone in on specific things that are being taught, that will in turn transfer to taking notes.
How soon should a parent begin these type of interactions?
As soon as a child is able to communicate back to you.
Okay, so could begin with reading to the child early on.
Absolutely.
That can help, you know, cultivate the listening skills.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Perhaps ask the kid to give some feedback. What was this about? What was the theme of this
Correct.
Talk?
Correct. Yeah. And time management is a huge piece of that as well. Mm. And you want to establish a schedule with your child as early as possible. It's beneficial to parents as well, but in the long run, when you are preparing a child for college, time management is a huge piece of being successful. Mm. So implementing a schedule at home, when you get home from school, you have time for a snack, you go into homework, then there's time for play, bath, bed. And stick to it. Consistency is important.
Yeah. You know, how much time should a, I don't like shooting on myself too much, but how much time should a child spend on a particular subject? I mean, is it based on the amount of time they spend in class? If they spend an hour in class, should they spend 2 hours at home? Should they spend 30 minutes at home on a subject? How does that, what's the formula for that?
You know, there is no formula for that. Mm. I think that's part of the reason why you have to have a really great line of communication with your child's teacher. Mm. Because if you have a child who is spending, you know, 45 minutes on an assignment and he is banging his head against the table because he doesn't get it, mm-hmm. it's important to be able to reach out to that teacher and say, you know what, Jonathan was having a really hard time last night doing this work. How long should this assignment have taken him?
Right.
And if she says, oh, it should have only taken 15 minutes, then you can have a conversation about, okay, this is what Jonathan was doing. Can you help me understand what he was supposed to be doing so I can know how to support him at home? So there's no magic bullet for, you know, this assignment should take 20 minutes or this assignment should take five. Having that relationship with the child's teacher to know, I don't know how much this should take, how long this should take. Mm-hmm. Let me talk to your teacher, or you talk to your teacher and ask him or her, how long should this assignment take? And if it's going amiss, let's have a plan to talk about it tomorrow.
Our phone number is 713-390-5102, 713-390-5102. We're talking with Aisha Crumbine, Mashawn Benson, and Paula Ware, all education consultants. And we're talking about how parents can have a better relationship, a stronger relationship with their children's teachers. What other skills might a parent try to instill in their children?
Well, I have two really important ones. Mm-hmm. The first one is, in order to take a more proactive stance, I think that parents need to go to the Texas Education Agency website and really become familiar with the state standards. It's very easy, okay? Now, I think on the Region 20 website, there are some quick reference guides for all grade levels in the state tested areas for what exactly the student needs to know. And in response to what you and Aisha were talking about, sometimes, even if the child is not developmentally ready, you know, because sometimes assignments can be beyond what that student is ready to do at that time. If parents know what the child is expected to do, then they might be able to teach, let's say, unit per rate in mathematics by going to the grocery store as opposed to putting pen to paper, you know, do some hands-on activities on their own that are right. more practical and lend themselves to benefiting the household. So if the parent knows that and is aware of the standards, then that would definitely help. The second thing is, and this is really important, very simple though. Do not undermine what's going on at school.
That teacher don't know what she's talking about.
But, exactly. or I'm gonna get even yeah. baser than that. Be on time. Mm. Okay. Parents send potentially a very negative message to students when they are not consistently on time to school. That says to the child, oh, I'm not really prioritizing what you're going to do today. And it's not intentional, you know, or if the parent knows, for example, there is no cell phone usage. I know, baby, there's no cell phone usage, but just go ahead and turn your phone off and put it at the bottom of the bag. These kinds of messages, quick messages that are sent to the children, seriously undermine the authority of the administration and the teachers at school. And so I would encourage parents to really think about that.
And you know what? I often say that choosing a school, and in this case, working with their teacher, is like parenting.
Mm.
Because when you drop your kids off at school, you are handing them the baton to be teacher / parent / guardian for that amount of time.
And should be willing to relinquish that authority, at least for that time. And as you stated, not undermine the teacher's authority there. All right, let's go to line one and talk with Gloria. Gloria, you're on Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1.
Yes, good morning. I'm speaking from the standpoint of a former teacher. I'm a retired teacher. I was in the system for 32 years. And I found that the problem, the major problem was we started having kids having kids. Mm-hmm. And they had no parenting skills. In fact, I taught some of the kids of those parents that I had taught. Mm-hmm. And these kids were like 17, 16 years of age, and they had no parenting skills. Mm-hmm. So I think it needs to start there, too, with those younger parents. They need to be taught how to be a parent. You know, you can't be a friend to your child. Mm-hmm. I noticed I would send home progress reports, all F's. And they come back the next Monday with $200 tennis shoes, you know, and these were young parents. And the major thing is they don't really know how to parent because they're so young.
And they want to be friends with their children.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They want them to be friends. You know, they don't want to do anything that would make them unhappy. And not realizing that if they don't get an education, they're going to be very unhappy because they're going to end up taking care of them for the rest of their lives.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think we need to start there, too, you know, kind of giving them, because some of them want to know, and really they can't help their children because many of them did not finish themselves. And they'll tell you, I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't help my child because I don't know it myself.
Right, Gloria. Hey, we appreciate your input this morning. Thank you so much. And time always goes so quickly. But can you give us another compelling issue that needs to be conveyed to the parents?
One that I would say too, you know, in this age of testing and the accountability factor. There's a lot of pressure that's put on schools to make sure that students are succeeding. And in the midst of that is a lot of diagnosing of students, their abilities, their health impairments, whether or not they're learning disabled and so forth. And I would encourage parents to, if their child has been diagnosed as having ADHD or some other health impairment, that they not necessarily associate that with learning disability, and that they make sure that they're holding their children accountable, but also dialoguing with the school about what their children's special needs are. You know, don't fail to disclose that to the school for fear that a student may be treated differently
yeah.
or, you know, really hold the student accountable, hold the school accountable, but then go to work with the child to make sure that that student is getting everything that he or she needs.
Now that we're in this testing era, you know, I've often wondered, are we testing for the sake of testing, or has testing really been effective? Are we producing more learned students? Are the students producing more in society? Are they doing better in school and college? Are we just testing to support the testing industry?
You know what? That is a whole nother topic. We could do a whole other segment on,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
On the benefits and
okay.
the drawbacks.
So you can say yes or no. Okay. Let's have your respective websites. You each have a website?
I do. Mine is CrumbineEd.com. So it's Crumbine Education Consulting. So CrumbineEd.com.
Mine is a little 2014. It's education.com, EDUCA, the number 8, ION.com. And we also provide tutoring, one-on-one small group for
that's all the that's
all
the whole website address?
Yeah.
Why don't we just say we can help?
Sure.
We can help.com.
713-659-9311.
Okay.
And I can be reached at mdiprep.com, working with Dr. Anthony Sutton and the MDI Prep medical school prep classes.
Okay. And you used to be with Wallop.
I did. And I hope that I have some students out there listening. Wish you absolutely the best. And parents, I'm always here. So please feel free to call.
And they've got a semester getting off in a few days. Anyway, ladies, thank you so much for being a part of the program. Good luck to you and your endeavors. And keep
thank
on
you.
Doing what you're doing for the kids and the community. We really need you and more like you. Thank you.
Thank you.